sort of social thing, but to do what we used to do when we were here. And so we thought, before we were too old and too high to do that, it'd be a good idea to do it. So hence why we're here today. And I think that was really tribute to four choir masters. And I think the people who were troubled in Dr. Barlow, Mike English's, David Elkins, who's with us today, and Martin Bussey's time. So, yeah, welcome to today. And after the service, we will be having a social in the church hall, and you're all more than welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. reading is taken from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, verses 1 to 5. And it shall come to pass, when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations, whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee, and shall return unto the Lord thy God, and shall obey his voice according to all that I commanded thee this day, thou and thy children, with all thine heart and with all thine soul. That then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity, and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath scattered thee. If any of thine be driven out unto the uttermost parts of heaven, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence will he fetch thee. And the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it, and he will do thee good, and multiply thee above thy fathers. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 1 to 17. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that thee may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied, for greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive edifying. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation, or by knowledge, or by prophesying, or by doctrine? And even things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. On Facebook, there is a group simply called M33. The aim of those who instigated the group was to provide a forum for debate about the shape and future of our town. It has instead become a forum for two distinct and yet common internet tropes: anger and nostalgia. Anger, because, well, humans are humans, and they fail, you fail, I fail, to conform to unwritten expectations. And we inhibit the personal thriving of various contributors one way or another. Nostalgia, because in this chaotic, edgy, deeply disconnected and fractious world, what is not to like about revisiting the past, where the sun always shone, anxieties about life were restricted to the capacity to buy sweets, and responsibilities were few. Now, nostalgia, by its very nature, is melancholic. The sadness rises because we know that we cannot reverse the clock, can never revisit those places unchanged, meet those people for the first time, re-experience our first kiss, glass of alcohol, or life-changing encounter. The past is another country. The speaker in our first reading, Moses by tradition, tells his hearers that their lives are predictable from day one. It's not a message we want or are able to hear. In our youth, we look forward to the future in hope, full of enthusiasm and ambition. We aim to skirt the pitfalls of that we have seen our elders fall into, to learn from their mistakes, to avoid their glaring errors, to grow ever wiser. Moses speaks to his congregation in what linguists call the future perfect. Things, he says, good things, and things that will make you feel cursed, will have happened to you by the time you have heard this message. So as we meet up later, we will tell and we will hear precisely that mix of the good and the curse. Such is life. Our first reading is full of melancholia. And part of that melancholia is about exile, about growing up and scattering across the face of the planet, about losing touch, not only with our friends and our neighbours and our neighbourhoods and our town, but with our spiritual and emotional roots, losing touch with the habits that formed and shaped and sustained us when we were young. Oh, I used to do this, we say to ourselves. I used to enjoy it. It mattered to me. And into that melancholia, with all its potential for voicing a criticism of our present way of life, our regret and our becoming overwhelmed with sadness for a lost past, Moses proposes a solution. His solution is to return home. So, here we are. Back where friendships were formed, musical gifts were explored, a foundational part of our personal histories was created. Like Peter on the Mount of Transfiguration, it is tempting to say, it is good, Lord, to be here. Here in this place, time telescopes, the years roll away, and for a nanosecond, youth is regained. And yet, it is not the same. Familiar markers on the landscape have gone. No more does a saint look down in faint disapproval on choirmen passing fishermen's friends. No longer do hymn books fly toward distracted choir boys. No longer do collars and or ruffs hide the dirty necks of the unwashed, or cassocks the trainers standing in for clean, polished black shoes. No longer is the plough the place to chew the fat on a Thursday evening. No longer does a robed choir lead worship from non-existent stalls. And empty chairs remind us of family and friends who have died. The temptation is to lament, to fall into melancholia, to rage at the passing of time, the shifts in culture, the necessary realities of growing up and going on in life. But that is not what Moses does. He does not lament. Instead, he says, remember. Remember what you learnt here. Remember not as a nostalgia fest, but as a deeply earthed, deeply embedded part of your humanity. Remember the values and the fundamental Christian beliefs you learnt here. Remember not perhaps the sermons, and you're as unlikely to remember this one as you can remember any of the other wisdom that clergy offered from the now non-existent pulpit, but remember the songs and the hymns and the spiritual songs. Remember the words that shape how you now look out onto the world. Recover in your heart those memories of performance, including, I hope, this night, in which beautiful music, sacred music, music that connected you with each other and, dare I say, you with God, music that you practiced and wrestled with, became anxious over, which, however, disclosed the holiness of God. Remember and recover that. Know the blessing that you receive from this holy space, which still informs how you inhabit the spaces on this planet which you now fill, your relationships, your work, your play. Remember, says Moses, so that the discipline of singing which you learnt here, the requirements to be part of a greater whole, to blend, to give way to more gifted singers, or to step up to the plate because your voice was necessary, that still informs the way you treat others and that you contribute to the world. Remember, says Moses, so that your humanity, when it's tested by life, by illness, by death, by challenges that could overwhelm, that you are still able to sing a song that speaks of the melody of God, even in the face of tragedy. Remember, says Moses, in order that your whole life might be a blessing to others. You are not in exile. That music from all those years ago can still feed you, so that through it you can feed others with the Spirit of God secreted deep within the rich repertoire that you drank from in this place, and which you can still sing throughout your lives today. Amen.
Come talk to God. So we move into a time of prayer. And first of all, we give thanks for those who have led the choir here at St. Mary's during the time that we remember, the four choir masters, with such dedication and creativity and energy. We pray that the Lord will continue to bless his whole church with choir leaders and trainers and organists and musicians and singers, that the church's praise may continue to be offered. We pray and give thanks for those who shared the choir stalls with us, for our parents who supported us, for other friends and supporters. And we pray for those whose absence is felt today, those whom we love but see no longer. By name, Jonathan Baker and Roger Croson. We invite the choir to turn to the front of their orders of service, and we'll say together the prayer for the chorus of the choristers. Bless, O Lord, us thy servants who minister in thy temple. Grant that what we sing with our lips we may believe in our hearts, and what we believe in our hearts we may show forth through our lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. O God, from whom all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works do proceed, give unto thy servants that peace which the world cannot give, that both our hearts may be set to obey thy commandments, and also that by thee we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may pass our time in rest and quietness through the merits of Jesus Christ our Saviour. Amen. Lighten our darkness, we beseech thee, O Lord, and by thy great mercy defend us from all perils and dangers of this night. For the love of thy only Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. And the collect of St. Mary Magdalene. Mighty God, whose Son restored Mary Magdalene to health of body and mind, and called her to be a witness to his resurrection, forgive us our sins, heal us by your grace, that we may serve you in the power of his risen life, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We say together that prayer Jesus taught his friends. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And on the separate sheet of paper, we'll say together the prayer of general thanksgiving. Almighty God, Father of all mercies, we, thine unworthy servants, do give thee most humble and hearty thanks for all thy goodness and loving kindness to us and to all men. We bless thee for our creation, preservation, and all the blessings of this life, but above all for thine inestimable love in the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ, for the means of grace and for the hope of glory. And we beseech thee, give us that due sense of all thy mercies, that our hearts may be unfeignedly thankful, and that we show forth thy praise, not only with our lips, but in our lives, by giving up ourselves to thy service, and by walking before thee in holiness and righteousness all our days. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with thee and the Holy Ghost be all honour and glory, world without end. Amen.
Loving Father, we give you praise and glory for all your gifts. You have called us to follow your Son, Jesus. You have invited us to be your people of praise. Father, we give you honor and glory. In your love for your church, you have given the gift of musical ability to these men and women of faith. Bless them as they use their talents for your glory and for the good of your holy people. Give them strength to continue their efforts to lead your church in song and music. Fill them with joy as they carry out their ministry of praise. Heavenly Father, we give you praise through Christ your Son in the love of the Holy Spirit, now and forever.